USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack is chair of the White House Rural Council. While visiting northern Nevada, he made a stop at the Reno Sparks Indian Colony. Secretary Vilsack, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me.
You bet. Thank you.
You were in Reno recently, and Nevada is the fourth state you visited since May, leading President Obama's National Initiative on Rural Opioid Addiction. Can you explain what that initiative is?
Sure. First of all, I think we have to put this in context. I mean, this is a serious problem that's impacting and affecting people in every state of the country. I think opioid abuse is sort of an equal opportunity killer. Over 28,000 people have died in the most recent year of statistics on fatalities, and there is a significant concern, as we've seen an increase in prescriptions for opioids and a misuse of opioids by millions of Americans, and now millions are addicted. We also know that opioids are the introductory drug, if you will, to ultimate heroin use. 80% of all new heroin users basically begin their drug use by the use of opioids. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed. The president's focus is on basically four components: a prevention strategy, a treatment strategy, a recovery strategy, and criminal justice reform. It's a comprehensive effort. The administration has invested a substantial amount of money, but frankly, we're asking Congress to provide us additional resources to be able to expand our efforts significantly, and we're still awaiting Congress's action on the president's budget proposal.
You had just touched upon the criminal justice component, and there's been news recently that the administration is considering granting clemency to many nonviolent drug offenders. Now, is that part of this overall plan?
That's part of the administration's criminal justice reform package. I don't think it's necessarily related specifically to the opioid issue. There is a much larger issue in terms of decisions we've made in the past that have led to a substantial increase in incarceration and prison populations in the country. And I think it's an opportunity for us to rebalance our criminal justice system to focus on people who are committing dangerous crimes that are harmful to people, making sure we get those folks off the streets fairly and quickly, but making sure that those who are on the wrong side of the law because of a drug problem are given an opportunity potentially to turn their life around by focusing more on treatment rather than punishment.
And President Obama has proposed spending more than $1 billion to target the opioid problem in this country. And the money will go toward expanding access to treatment. And then Nevada could be eligible for about $9 million over 2 years. Some people have criticized that amount as insufficient to really tackle this really big problem. What's your perspective?
Well, the Health and Human Services announced an additional $53 million dedicated to expanding access to treatment and the availability of naloxone and working to avoid overdose situations. Look, you have to make sure that you properly balance the amount of resource that is available with the capacity of existing systems to be able to spend and invest those monies wisely. This is not a situation where if you had 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 billion dollars, that it would necessarily be invested wisely in a short period of time.
And Secretary Vilsack, fighting opioid addiction and substance abuse in this country is more than really just a job for you. It's also something very personal. Can you share with us a little bit of your story?
Well, look, I was fortunate. I started out life in an orphanage, and I was adopted into a family. And my mom, when I was young, struggled mightily with addiction. It may have started with a hospitalization where she had her gallbladder removed and she was given medications, and seemed a downward spiral in her life for 5 or 6 years where she was hospitalized a number of times, attempted suicide. I really got to that point in her life where she had to make a decision whether she wanted to live or die. It was a painful time for our family, and mom would separate herself from us for weeks on end when she was drinking. She finally left the family and ultimately sought help and became an incredibly courageous and important person in my life in terms of the example that she set. But my mom, fortunately for her, when she made the decision to turn her life around, there were people to help. What is painful for me to hear in the current situation is circumstances in families where either their loved one couldn't acknowledge that they needed help, or when they did acknowledge it, there was no one there to provide the help and assistance, or there was no one prepared to understand that this is not a situation where it's a simple thing. People try and fail multiple times before they finally succeed. This is heartbreaking to watch what's happening to families. There's got to be a better way to deal with this situation. And I think it starts with understanding this is a disease and basically focusing on it in the same way we focus on cancer and heart disease and diabetes and all the other diseases that make life challenging.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today.
All right. Thanks a lot.